This is ESPN New York Tonight with Larry Hardesty and Gordon Damer on 98.7 ESPN. This is ESPN New York Tonight. Here's Larry Hardesty and Gordon Damer. This is GOAT Madness.
I am the greatest.
Jordan to the circle, puts the shot in the air. Good! The game's over, and the Bulls have won.
Who is the GOAT?
We know!
Oh! LeBron James with no regard for human life!
It's time for you to determine who's the greatest of all time, once and for all.
This one is headed for New Jersey. High into the upper deck. Barry Bonds with a spectacular three-run homer.
Because that's the bottom line. The Stone Cold sets up.
This is GOAT Madness.
We're trying to find out who is the greatest of all time. And we're whittling it down. We started with 64 folks. We're heading to the final four eventually, Gordon. And then we'll find out who is the greatest of all time. We've had some interesting matches. Now we'll see where we're going.
Last night, we finally had our first number one seed bite the dust.
Really?
Jay-Z.
What?
Ousted by Vin Scully.
Maybe no way.
The greatest, to me, a shock.
Wow.
I thought Jay-Z was going to cruise in that matchup against Vin Scully.
What?
A baseball announcer?
What?
Yeah, I was stunned. Well, look, don't blame me. You know who's to blame. It's the audience.
Yeah.
You got to point the finger in the right direction.
Yeah.
But yeah, we lost our first number one seed. But other than that, Tiger Woods, he moves on. He beats Ric Flair, which was a little bit of a surprise to me. Not surprising. LT into the next round. Muhammad Ali, the number two seed in that region, he moves on as well. So we're getting down there now. We only have two matchups for tonight.
Okay.
But these two, there are two powerhouses in this region, and it feels like they are destined to meet.
Okay.
They're not meeting tonight, though.
No.
We still have one more matchup, and who knows with the surprises of last night how this goes. But our first matchup includes a number one seed, the number one overall seed, who is...
Gretzky on the move, and he'll take the pass. On the line. Gretzky coming at the net. Shooting. Scores! My goodness. The way the second period has turned out.
Wayne Gretzky. He's great when the water is frozen.
That's right.
He goes up against the guy who's great when the water is thawed.
It's going to be close as Diver and Cavitch in the clow. He's coming hard, Phelps. He's still a chance. He's a real big chance. Can he do it again? He hits it, and he does. Remarkable. Stunning.
Exhausting for Debbie. What a swim, Michael Phelps.
Mm. Who is Debbie? I'm not sure who. Is that Debbie Duhaime? Was she in the next lane to Michael Phelps? Who
Could've
is
been.
Debbie?
I don't know.
I'm not sure. But there you go. There's our first matchup of the night. Wayne Gretzky going up against Michael Phelps. Debbie was bounced early on. It's unfortunate. Yes. We have such a great open to this with LeBron James, but LeBron was like a rumor. He's been gone since the opening.
I know.
Right from the jump.
Yeah.
All right, so that's their first matchup of the night. Wayne Gretzky's been great so far. Our other juggernaut in this region is the number six seed. He is, of course.
Win and winner, chicken dinner.
Cut his fat ass. I've got a team that stinks.
That, of course, not Vince Scully. That, of course, is our Don LaGreca. He's the number six seed, yes. Tonight, though, Don, he has been charging through this region.
He's been steamrolling.
He's
been rolling, boy.
I think he gets his toughest challenge tonight.
Oh, yeah? Who is
in the number two seed, who is...
Ooh.
I mean, MJ.
Ooh.
Still sounds good.
It does.
40 years old, right? 84, this came out?
Unbelievable.
40 years ago, Larry.
Oh.
84. It's crazy.
Oh.
40 years? What?
Oh, God.
But there you go. There's your matchups for tonight. Two of them. It is, of course, Wayne Gretzky, Michael Phelps, Don LaGreca, Michael Jackson. Not very often you put those four together, right? That
no.
sounds like one of those. If you had a chance to have dinner with four people, alive or dead, who would they be? Wayne Gretzky, Michael Phelps, Don LaGreca, and Michael Jackson.
That's pretty good. I'll take that.
Yeah. And voting that. Is now open.
At Gordon Damer, at Hardesty ESPN, at ESPN NY 98_7. You can vote and weigh in. We'll have another set of matchups tomorrow night when we join you following Knicks and Sacramento. Gordon Damer, I've been waiting for this. Steve Cohen spoke.
Mm-hmm.
There's one of these things I'm very curious to hear. The other one, I'm not surprised. This was Steve Cohen, who was on CNBC, by the way.
Okay.
This is Steve Cohen commenting on the team's winless start.
Well, it's only four games into the season, right? Be the equivalent of getting off to a bad start, let's say, in a hedge fund year. You have a couple down days early in January. You still got a lot of time left to do what you normally do. And so, yeah, nobody wants to start 0-4. I mean, but, you know, it's early, right? And, you know, during the season, you're going to have losing streaks. We just happen to have one at the beginning.
Yeah, and Gordon, that's what I expect him to say. And he's right. It is early.
Uh-huh.
The only concern, the only thing that, in hindsight for me, and listen, I'm happy to have JD. Okay, I'm happy. I'm good. I've been trying to get him for 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
I'm happy to have him. I only wish that they could have gotten him a little earlier, because Gordon, with him in the lineup, perhaps maybe you're 2-2, and maybe that's not a big deal. I get it. I mean, it's the first week of the season. Who cares? But I just think with the team the way it is, and all the stuff in the offseason, and all the, you know, what are we going to be? Are we going to go for it? Are we not going to go for it? Are we going to go with the kids? Or maybe we're not going with the kids. I just needed them to come off with a little stronger start than 0-4 in hindsight. But, you know, it is what it is right now.
Yeah. I'm just wondering, and again, I'm from the outside. I'm not a Met fan. Is there ever going to be a point where people are upset with Steve Cohen? Like, does he ever get criticism? Because it feels like it doesn't really. The reason why I think the 0-4 matters more than a typical 0-4 is because none of us had high expectations for this team based on the moves that they made in the offseason.
Mm-hmm.
And that is coming. I know David Stearns is here now, but I'm sure that Steve Cohen has a hand in that. And Steve Cohen's the guy who waited 3 years to get this guy specifically.
Mm-hmm.
And if this is going to turn out to be a lost season, when Steve Cohen came on board and said, by year five, I expect to be winning World Series.
Yeah.
Like, is there any other owner who would float by where there's no criticism at all because he spent money a couple of years ago and then spent money to get rid of guys? I'm not saying you have to say Steve Cohen's a disaster or the Wilpons are bad, but can we get any criticism of Steve Cohen? Just feels like, well, he knows what he's doing. He's really rich.
It's for me, as a Met fan,
mm-hmm.
I think it's just so different from the previous owners.
Right. I get that.
That you're more patient.
But, like, when do we start judging him for him? Right? Like, it's clear he's not the Wilpons.
Mm-hmm.
Great.
Hallelujah.
Right. Much like, but like, it's clear that, I would think that it's clear for all the criticism we give Joe Douglas, he's not Mike Maccagnan, but at some point we're criticizing Joe Douglas for the moves that Joe Douglas is making.
Mm-hmm.
It feels like everybody, yes, they're not the worst case scenario of the person before them,
right.
But it just feels like Steve Cohen, for whatever reason, is still able to kind of skate by. Well, he's not the Wilpons.
Well, I think to answer your question straight up, Gordon, I mm-hmm. think what happens this next offseason is going to be the thing.
Okay.
I think if he doesn't, you know, if there's no Alonso, there's no Soto,
mm-hmm.
there's you know, there's no really big ticket item that joins this franchise.
Right.
Then I think you're going to start to look at him a little differently. Okay, so what are we doing here? All right, you had 2 years ago, you had a 101-win team that died in you know, late in the season and was ousted quickly in the postseason. Okay, so what are we doing now? Now it's this, well, we're trying to reconstruct, we're trying to evaluate. So this from what we've been told as Met fans, this is an evaluation year, Gordon. We're not tanking. We believe we have enough talent to make it interesting for you to keep coming to the ballpark and spending your money and coming and watching us play. And if everything goes well, we'll have an opportunity to be in the postseason. But we're really going for it in 2025, 2026 for those 2 years. So I guess what we have to do is wait and see what they're doing. And then in this offseason, what's happening? Or if it's really bad, which is the interesting thing, what happens if it's really bad at the trade deadline? Then what happens? What does he do then? Suppose, and hopefully not, please, God, hopefully not. But suppose it's a season similar to the way it was last year at the trade deadline, where he was selling players off. Now what do we do? Yeah. Now what does it look like?
I just remember, was it 2017? The Jets had a similar, they were selling you a similar thing where that year, that was the year, was it Josh McCown was going to be the quarterback? And this is going to be an evaluation year.
Yeah.
And it turned out to be a disaster.
Yeah.
They went 5-11. Yeah. And I feel like it took them a while. And you can maybe make the argument they still haven't recovered since.
You're right.
Like, you can't afford to have – now, look, if you're tanking, that's one thing. If you're right. saying, hey, we're going to be the worst that we can be because then we're really going to hit on big draft picks. But I don't think the Mets are tanking. They got too much legitimate major league talent to be that bad.
No.
They're not going to go 0-10 here to start the season.
And they're not just playing the kids like they said they were a couple of weeks ago.
No. Okay, I don't know what the plan is. It's like it's kind of like middle ground. Like, what are we evaluating here?
It's like, we were going to play the kids. We'll figure out the DH role. Oh, JD Martinez came down on this price. Okay, let's get him. Let's get him. All right, so let's do it. Let's change everything. Now let's go after it. But, you know, still, let's be honest, starting pitching is not great.
No.
They didn't invest in the starting pitching.
No.
Okay, I mean, it was Senga, and we're praying for everybody else. You know, so, and I get you just, you know, you gave up, you just got rid of two pitchers who needed to be gotten rid of. Verlander wasn't going to do it for you. Scherzer wasn't going to do it for you. So, you know, I get it. I understand it. It was the move you had to make. You made the pivot. Great. But you didn't really replace those pitchers. And I don't know where you're getting them from.
I don't know what the plan was there. Doesn't seem like there was much of one.
Gordon, this is an interesting Steve Cohen comment. Once again, he was on CNBC.
Mm-hmm.
And let's just say, this is his thoughts on how he views what owning the Mets is.
You want a ring. How many years do you think it will take you to get there? How much will it cost?
Well, I don't care about the cost side. I mean, I think over time,
philanthropic, do you?
I do.
You do?
That's why I bought the team, okay? Well, that's exactly why I bought the team. And, you know, I said in my original press conference, if I can make millions of people happy, how cool is that? And so I actually view it as a civic responsibility. Now, listen, nobody wants to lose money forever and spend money and not have success. To me, I've deemed success as not only winning the World Series, getting in the playoffs and winning the World Series. It's also developing a deep farm system that creates talent over the years, over and over again.
How about that, Gordon?
Okay, well, I mean, that's great. That's the way you want it to be.
Love it.
That he's looking to make, and he would, right? If he gets the Mets a World Series title.
We're good.
I don't feel like he gets criticized now. He'll never get criticized again if he gets them a World Series title.
But he's done his job.
This is going to be the fourth year he's owned the team.
Mm-hmm.
Two of those previous 3 years, they were a below 500 team.
Mm-hmm.
The 1 year they were above 500, they petered out. At the end of the season against the Braves, got knocked out of the playoffs right away.
Mm-hmm.
I think that when Steve Cohen took over and bought the team from the Wilpons, and it was a brand new day, it was going to be a brand new time, if I told you going into year four, they would basically be a 500 organization those 4 years, I don't think Met fans would be happy with that.
No, not expecting it. And not happy about it, Gordon. Just because we're not criticizing him doesn't mean we're happy with the way things are.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, to be honest, last year for me, it took me a while to get over the 101-win team that didn't go far.
Right. He didn't own the team in 2020. That was still the Wilpons, right?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Okay. I believe so. Yeah. He was on the board, but he wasn't in
right. He wasn't
control.
In the driver's seat yet.
No, he wasn't in the driver's seat.
Because he came on board at Brody Van Wagenen, he bounced right away.
Yes.
That was the first thing. Yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
So it was 2021, 2022, 2023 in this year.
Yep. Yep. And the 101 win season, Gordon, that's the one that gets you. Mm-hmm. As a Met fan, that's the one that kills you. It just kills you.
This is ESPN New York Tonight with Larry Hardesty and Gordon Damer on 98.7 ESPN.
Remember, you can vote. Goat Madness, X formerly Twitter, at Hardesty ESPN, at Gordon Damer, at ESPN NY, 98.7 FM. I took a peek, Gordon. I just wanted to just a peek.
Just a peek. I got you. You just want to get a little taste.
Want to get
you
feel.
Don't want the whole thing. You just want to get a little...
I want
a moosh boosh of
yes.
the voting.
Very nice. Look at the ooh, very nice. Very nice. I gotta tell you. That's all I'm gonna say. 1-800-919-3776. Eric's in Brooklyn. Eric, you're next on 98.7.
Hey, what's up, guys? I just had a quick response to what Gordon was saying about Steve Cohen. I think it's I'm a diehard Met fan. Let me start by saying that. I think it's two things, the reason why he doesn't get that much criticism. I think the first thing is that they kind of let us know, like they kind of, you know, we're open about maybe we're not going to be competitive and maybe, you know, it may take a year or two for them to actually compete for a championship. And I think the second part is that the guy has shown willingness to spend money, and he's hired the right guy to go and get, you know, somebody that you trust to go and get the right guys. So I think between those two things, it's kind of like a feeling of, okay, we know he's going to spend money. We know he has the right guy in place to go and get these guys. We know he has kids that he just traded for with Verlander and Scherzer. Let's give him a chance and let his plan come to fruition. I know the first plan didn't work, but... Let's see. Maybe he's learning on the fly. So I think he's kind of getting a pass. I think you give it two more years and the team's not good, I think he's going to start hearing it.
I hear you, Eric. thanks for the phone call. I don't think he gets two more years, though. I think he's got to do something in this offseason. Now, listen, you give him credit. He was in the, he was in the Yamamoto. He was right there. Flew overseas to get him. But you just wonder... If he throws another $5-6 million at him, Gordon, $10 million, does he get him? Does he? I know he wanted. It looks like he wanted to stay over there and play with Otani in with the Dodgers.
Right, you might have lost that out anyway. That's true.
It's possible.
Mm-hmm.
But I, in the back of my mind, I'm like, well, you offered the same because the thing was he offered the same.
Right. Yeah. You can't go in there offering the same.
No,
you gotta offer more.
No. You know he wants to be in LA, so you got to go in saying
That's how we got Verlander, right? That's how we got Scherzer, right?
You went out there
and you blew people away with your wallet. That's the major thing you have. Now, again, he could have offered $50 million more and might not have gotten him. But
then
at least then we would
say.
Have known.
There's nothing I can say about that, Gordon. He tried.
Right.
He did the best he could.
He did the best you could. All I'm saying is this is year four, and it will determine to me where it goes in year four. The first year, they were 77-85. Okay, fine, right? It's his first year taking over. It's going to take a little while. Nobody expected a masterpiece overnight. But then the second year, they win 101 games, get bounced in the playoffs. All right, well, you got bounced in the playoffs, but you were in the playoffs. You won 101 games. And then last year was a complete and utter flop.
Yeah.
And then you went into this offseason saying, well, we're just going to evaluate things. We're not really going to be fully a young team. We're not going to try to go and win now. We're more about 2025 than 2024. I don't think that there's another team in this town that could have those 3 years back to back, a really promising start, a complete flop of a year, and then saying, well, we're going to hold things back for the year beyond this, before we even play a game in this year. I don't think there's a team in this town that wouldn't get heavily, heavily criticized. And I don't see any criticism of Steve Cohen yet.
You're right. And I think the part of it is what also buys him some time, Gordon, is it's the first year with Stearns. So, yeah, I've been here 4 years, but this is the first year with him. So I'm really taking a step back, and I'm letting him run things. So it's his first year. So I'm letting him figure it out, do what you got to do. Let's see what's happening. See, that's why for me, it's not 2 years. It's what do you do this year and this offseason to go into 2025? Mm-hmm. Gordon, 2025 has to look closer to the 101 win season than any of the other seasons you've had. It's gotta be a situation where you're going in saying, okay, we respect Atlanta, but we've got a shot to be number two out of, in this division. And we got a shot to be, and if things go right, you know, maybe we'll win some games against Atlanta. You know, it's gotta be. You have to be more competitive now. You can't continue to be this way. You weren't brought here to be this way. I mean, this, you know, once again, it's his first year. I'm not going to criticize Stearns. We'll see what he does. All right. But, I mean, before they brought J.D. Martinez in here, Gordon, this kind of had a small market feel to the team.
It definitely did. It felt like Milwaukee East.
Yeah. It had a small market feel to it. You know, listen, and he's spending money. I mean, it's over $300 million payroll. I get it. Lindor's making money. Alonso's making money. Marte's making money. Nimmo's making money. I get it. There's a bunch of people making money on this team. But it's not your superstar players that you're, you know, it's not the marquee guys
that
your pitching staff is in shambles.
Yeah, it feels like your pitching staff, like whenever the Mets are good again, like threatening for a World Series title, like none of the guys, maybe Senga.
Yeah, maybe.
But
this could be the only one.
It feels like you got to make that whole thing all over.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you know, Manea looks good,
right?
But I mean,
who knows?
He would be on a good team with a really good starting rotation. He's a number five starter. He's not number three.
No.
He's a number five starter. Maybe he's in the bullpen.
It feels like it's like you want to narrow the gap between you and the Braves, and it feels like that gap.
Haven't done it.
Has not been.
Haven't done it.
It's been a long time since it's been this wide.
Yeah, you haven't done it. You have not narrowed the gap at all. You have not. When we return, I've been waiting to say this for months. It's back. It's
Answers with Aaron.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, I can't wait. I can't wait. And it's next.
This is ESPN New York Tonight with Larry Hardesty and Gordon Damer on 98.7 ESPN.
Deep drive, right field. There it goes! See ya! A long home run for Verdugo. And the Yankees lead 4-2.
Yeah, I just went up there and figured, you know, runner on second, nobody out. Just got to get them over, right? You know, and yeah, it was basically just trying to hit the ball to right side on the right side and got a good pitch. You know, timing was there and made a good swing.
It's ESPN New York Tonight. Talking a little baseball, where we take you out to the ballparks. Oh, we love doing this segment during the baseball season. And we have a little Answers with Aaron in a couple of minutes. That's where Gordon Damer becomes Aaron Boone.
I will say this, though. It feels like Aaron Boone has been replaced by AI Aaron Boone, because he's not operating. The Yankees are not operating, at least not at this point of the season, like they generally. Like, this would have been the perfect day for them to put out a subpar lineup. Take out, or take Volpe out. Somebody who's really hot. Take them out of the lineup.
Mm-hmm.
Put some. Well, we got to keep guys fresh. Judge needs a day. You know, it's ridiculous that they do.
Yes.
So they brought a full lineup today. Ian Hamilton going out there for three innings, right? He comes in to relieve Rodon, comes back for the next inning, comes back for another inning, and he was dominant. I like this. This is like AI Aaron Boone.
Yeah, this is the new Aaron Boone. It's fascinating. It is. Can I just say this, Gordon?
Yeah.
What a pleasure to work on the same station with such great play-by-play people. Kay with the call there on Yes. Mm-hmm. LaGreca with the great job he does with Rangers and Knicks. Oh, it's a pleasure. So especially when you have, you know, packages that you hear other places.
Yeah.
And other people.
Yeah.
You appreciate what you got. Let's just say that.
There are no bad play-by-players. This is the center of the known universe,
yep.
And it certainly is that way for play-by-play callers as well.
No question about it. So the Yankees win today, and since we're talking about Alex Verdugo and the home run, Aaron Judge weighed in that asked, did you get a sense that Virgo was, going that home run route?
You know, all season, Doogie's been doing a good job. He's, like, really letting the ball travel. And he finally said before that at bat, he's like, hey, man, I'm just going to go out there and, take my swing. You know, be aggressive. You know, he's got a great eye. You know, he's got a good feel for the bat. So he went out there and was aggressive, and good things happen. So it just takes one swing like that for a guy to feel it and kind of get things going.
Speaking of getting things going, what was it like to hit your first home run of the season?
You just got to keep swinging. You know, it's early in the season. You know, it's early in the season. You got to get your at-bats. Keep swinging at good pitches. You know, if you don't get good pitches, take your walk and let the guys behind you do their job. So, you know, just keep swinging the bat.
Aaron Judge on Yes postgame. What have you learned so far this season about your team?
Well, I think just everybody contributing, up and down from our, starting pitchers to our bullpen picking us up at times to up and down the lineup, guys just having quality at bats, through and through every single game. Didn't matter if it's extra innings, we're down. If we got the lead, just a lot of fighting these guys. And, it's going to take a lot. It's going to take a lot of fight and, a lot of dog, like Doogie says, so to get through these games.
Gordon, it's early, and there's no question about it. But offensively, today was kind of closer to the offense you expect to see from this team consistently.
Yeah, well, a little bit more, right? You get to see Judge obviously doing it. Verdugo's been slumping a little bit, so for him to have a major impact, it was not so much Juan Soto today. It was not just him going up there and ruling the way, but I thought Rizzo had a couple of hits. Uh-huh. So, yeah, a little bit more. After yesterday where they had three hits and it felt, here we go again, it was nice to see them kind of bounce back today and bounce back a couple of different times.
Yep, no question about it. For me, Gordon Damer, the story was Carlos Rodon. 5 1/3 inning, 7 hits, 2 runs, both earned, 2 walks, 3 strikeouts, gave up 2 home runs. But you got a little length out of him. Mm-hmm. And the best thing about it, he didn't want to come out the game. A little jarring that Aaron Boone was coming off the mound.
Absolutely. So, look, as we said in the open, 6-1 road trip to start the year, Houston and Arizona, you would sign for that every single day of the week and twice on Sunday.
Yep, no doubt about it. And now, after a little hiatus, it's
Answers
time for our...
with Aaron.
There we go. All right, we've got two for you tonight, Gordon Damer.
All right.
This is the Yankee skipper on the series win at Arizona. What will Aaron Boone say about the series win at Arizona? Boone or AI Boone?
Yeah, I think he's going to go the route of all the different contributors today. Important to win a series, stacking series this early on in the year is important. So I think he'll obviously mention Judge. He'll mention Verdugo with some sort of nickname. He might mention Glaber as well. I think he'll mention a few guys and how important it is to stack wins this early in the season and win series.
Aaron Boone on winning the series.
I mean, what a great kind of gritty win today. Both starters pitched well. Kelly and Rodo were really good, and the bullpens were tough. But just, I thought, first of all, really good at-bats there by GT, setting us up again in that second run. Obviously, Doogie with a big swing in the first go-around. Clay was outstanding. We didn't make a play behind him, but we just keep playing. That's part of it. That's going to happen. And then, Fergie coming in, finishing off. It was a fun, exciting way to end the road trip.
Gordon, in midseason form, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah.
Midseason form.
I would say Verdugo probably is going to have the highest ratio to nickname.
Yes.
Like, most times he mentions Verdugo this season, he will get a nickname more than anybody else. But yes. he was heavy nicknamed there, right? He's GT got us going, Fergie. Yep.
Doogie.
So you know things are going well when he's throwing the nicknames around like
throwing
that.
Throwing them out. Yep. When they're losing, he ain't throwing nicknames.
No nicknames then. No. Some people have some nicknames for him when they're losing, but
absolutely.
We'll leave those
absolutely.
Alone.
Yeah. No, we'll hear those a little later this season. Aaron Boone now on Walking with the Bases Loaded. Aaron Boone, Gordon, I know he kind of hinted at it there. Not real happy about that.
Yeah, I don't know which way he's going to go with this. This was a tough one. I don't know.
He didn't say much. I'll tell you this. He didn't say much.
Okay. Maybe we felt like that was the best way to get out of the jam. I'm not sure. This one's a little tough for me to put my finger on.
Here's Aaron Boone on Walking with the Bases Loaded.
I was going to walk a run in if they stopped at third. So, but you add a layer of oddity for the pitcher. But I was absolutely convicted on doing it.
All right. So more of a strategy question from the Yankee skipper.
All right.
So you were correct in not knowing which way he was going to go.
Yeah, I didn't. So. That was a tough one.
That was no question about it. But, I mean, you nailed the first one, so give me a break.
That's all I can do. You go 500, you're like Juan Soto.
That's it. And that gets you into the Hall of Fame, baby.
Absolutely.
Front row, 500, front row. Front row of the Hall of Fame. Mets were rained out today. They've got a doubleheader tomorrow. And they've got 15 games in the next 14 days. So we'll find a lot out about this team. Either they're going to get really hot or really cold, Gordon Damer, over these next couple of games.
Now, they're 0-4 to start the season.
Yes.
Do they get back to .500 at some point?
Yes, I think they will get back to .500 at some point. And it better be early because...
Well, let me ask you this. What day is the company going out there with the DiPietro and Rothenberg show?
May 2nd.
May 2nd.
May 2nd.
All right, so... That's less than a month because we know that when they show up there, history has shown us that's when the Mets hit
boom!
The skids. Right afterwards. Not while they're there. When they're there, they're good.
Yeah.
But they walk out that building and it's like a pox on the building. I don't know what's going on.
Well, I expect this time it'll be different. I expect that the Mets will rally around the fact and use the company's appearance. Mm-hmm. And Rothenberg and DiPietro's appearance to rally and move things forward and erase.
Let's hope so.
And erase what happened the last time they were there. I expect something different from this team. I do. I mean, Gordon, they haven't won a game yet.
They have not.
I mean, so
if I were the company, I'd be getting in there sooner rather than later. And then this way you can say you kind of turned it around at least for a little while.
I don't know. If I was the company, I might consider maybe not even going. the way they've been hit.
I'll tell you
right now,
if they don't start winning some games before May 2nd, after that, there's not going to be a lot of – forget about the company. There's not going to be a lot of people out there. The people I've seen at Citi Field so far this year did not exactly look thrilled to be there.
Well, I tell you one thing. When they gave up when you saw – somebody gave up a home – I can't think of who it was. Somebody gave up a home run. People just like – it was like a mass exodus.
Yeah.
Like, we're done. We're out of here. It could be – Gordon, I'm telling you, this could be this. It's early. That's all.
It is early. It's not even a full week.
Not even the full week. So
at least you're not the Marlins.
No, thank God for that. But I mean, Gordon, can you imagine me as a Mets fan? The Pirates were undefeated.
Yeah, the Pirates have been bad for a really long time, and it seems like now they're starting to get some players.
I mean. I'm looking at this. I'm like,
as bad as the Mets are, the Marlins are 0-7 and just finished a homestand.
I know. But, you know, and they'll never get a building playing like that.
Those are the only two teams right now in Major League Baseball who do not have a win.
Mets and Marlins. Oh, dear.
This is ESPN New York Tonight with Larry Hardesty and Gordon Damer on 98.7 ESPN.
Jose's in Brooklyn. Jose, you are next on 98.7.
Good evening, Larry, GD. Shout out to the company. I was just, you know, listening along. And, you know, I do have a Yankee point, and I'll get to it. But I was listening. And as I was listening, I was kind of, you know, almost zoning out because, you know, Larry was going through, you know, the whole Met, you know, ordeal and trauma. And I was just like, oh, whoa. And then, as you know, Gordon was, you know, doing his part, you know. I saw Larry's white coat and I decided to put it on. And, man, the powers that it gives of sympathy and empathy is just flowing through me right now, because I just got to say, I really feel for you, Larry. I don't know why, you know, this organization does this to its fan base. The whole rainout situation was, you know, to me, disastrous to begin with. But the thing that I really, you know, feel for you guys is that even though they do have a couple of guys that you can consider all-star, you know, caliber players, and you've got, you know, a lot of above average, you know, baseball talent, comparing it to the rest of the division, it still doesn't look like it's going to be a playoff team. Hopefully they can compete, but this organization, messaging-wise, has kind of told you that this year is not going to be emphasized as much as next the future years to come. So hopefully, you know, they can be able to change it in the future, and, you know, see, and, you know, hopefully by being patient, you know, it becomes a virtue and they can, you know, make even better moves next year, because, you know, the jury's still going to be out on, you know, the Ohtani and, you know, Yamamoto sweepstakes, and to see if that worked and, you know, and et cetera. And we'll see how it works for the Dodgers in the future. As far as for the Yankees, and it's funny because I said, you know, it's time for me to, you know, I sent a text to one of my friends and I said, I think it's time for me to give credit to Aaron Boone because, you know, the moves that he has done with the bullpen and everything has kind of been, you know, the right decision making and everything. And it does feel like, you know, he's kind of like managing more, and it feels like he kind of has more control. I don't know if it's because the Yankees are winning and everything looks good, and, you know, and all the players are so much better than last year. But it is very interesting. And I just got to ask Gordon, doesn't it just feel like order has been, even though it's still early, I understand it's only the first few games, we're not even 10 games into the season, but doesn't it just feel right that this is happening? Doesn't it feel like order has been restored a little bit?
I mean, I can hear what you say. I do think it's based primarily on how they've started. The Soto move is unquestioned. Mm-hmm. Nobody could ever say that. Is anybody missing Michael King anymore, or the prospects that they gave up in that deal? So that's great. The other moves, it remains to be seen whether or not the rotation can hold it down until if and when Gerrit Cole gets back. There's still some. The Orioles are going to be a problem. Mm-hmm. It felt like going into the season, but it is nice to see some sanity, where you're not constantly scratching your head, where Oswaldo Cabrera is having a real hot start to the season and he gets to keep playing.
Yeah.
There's not some random day off for somebody the third or fourth game of the season when they're a main cog on the team, or it not putting out a lineup like that on a getaway day. So having some left-handed bats in the lineup.
That's nice, isn't it?
It is. It's a nice change.
Yeah, just wait till you get back home.
Right.
Wait till you get back to the stadium. It's going to be like, what? There's more than one lefty?
Yeah, wow. That never made. Well, we just want good hitters. If they're left-handed or right-handed, it doesn't matter. Oh, wait, that didn't work. We better get some left-handed bats in here.
Oh, we have guys that, you know, the stats show they hit to all fields. And even though they're right-handers, they also hit to the opposite field here, you know.
I'm sure it's not going to be all smooth sailing, right?
Of course
DJ LeMahieu's going to be out for a while. I think Stanton looks like he's washed to me. I did not have high hopes for him coming into the season. I still don't have high hopes. So I'm sure that there's going to be things. And we're saying when Gerrit Cole gets back, if Gerrit Cole gets back, who knows?
Yeah, it's true. It's true.
I mean, I liked seeing him with Kay and Cone on the broadcast yesterday, but
you'd rather see him on the mound.
I'd rather see him on the mound.
I know. He had he broke it down what he's doing with his arm, right? He gave a clinic.
He's like a pitching nerd.
He is.
He's like, oh, he's into every angle, everything about it. So That doesn't surprise me that he was that layered about
it. He was very layered. He broke it down about what he's doing and these things, what was going on. Gordon, I got to ask you, have you had a chance to check out the movie I was telling you about on Netflix?
I have not. I have not been really watching much stuff lately.
Really? So you locked it? No, don't boo him. His Yankees are on. They're winning. His Yankees are winning. He's obsessed.
It's baseball. I like to get a little feel. Now, the weekend might be the time to do that. What did I watch? I watched something the weekend with the missus.
Uh-huh.
I don't remember what it was. And, you know, a lot of my free time, I love watching movies with my son, Jack.
That's right.
So that's been something that we've kind of done. Nice. So we've not gotten to that one yet. But
okay.
We've been watching
curious.
Some classics. We just got done with Braveheart. He was a big fan of Braveheart.
Oh. Well, at least you got the right actor.
Yes, exactly.
So you're working your way.
We're working our way. But no, maybe this weekend. I would think that this weekend will be a good time.
No, I don't think so. This is Yankees at home this weekend. You're not watching any movies. You're watching Yankees.
No, Saturday night. Well, they have a day game Saturday, right?
I believe so.
Yeah. So I'll have Saturday night free. I might throw it on then.
All right. Yeah. I'm just curious to see what you think of it, Gordon.
Come on.
I'm just curious.
By the way, the day I had today, Larry.
What happened?
The day I had to, my wife wakes me up 6 o'clock in the morning.
Oh, my God.
6 a.m.
Why?
Well, we obviously did not learn our lesson after the last dog we had, so we got another dog.
All righty.
So this dog is a rescue. Uh-huh. Everybody tells, you have to rescue. They all have problems. They don't tell you this. I'm going to tell you this. They're all nuts. That's why. Unfortunately, I love her, but she's nuts. So she just wants to eat. She's got like Prader-Willi. She just never has a full stomach. Mm-hmm. So my wife was exercising on the treadmill this morning at 6 before she goes to work.
Wow.
And the dog gets up with her and sits with her. Well, at one point, she didn't sit with her. She got into the cabinet and ate 3 chocolate bunnies.
Wow.
3 of them. The foil, the ribbon, everything chewed through. Pretty much everything.
She okay?
Well, my wife was panicking, so she had to take her to the emergency room. I had to pump her stomach to make sure the chocolate didn't get into her system.
Yeah.
I don't know if you've gone to a regular emergency room. Those are not cheap. Doggy emergency rooms. They're just printing money in the back room, Larry. They have a printing. It's like an NFL team. They are just printing money. But the dog is fine.
That's the bottom line.
She was fine. She had a very difficult day because then she wasn't allowed to eat.
Oh, no.
Until later. And then she has to have, we have to make her chicken and rice, something very settling on the stomach.
Wow.
So now
you're cooking for the dog.
The dog ate every grain of rice, Larry.
The dog is starving every day.
Starving.
Starving.
She was scouring the floor like a sniper looking for some morsel of food to get it. So now the pantry door has to be closed all the way. It can't be.
And locked.
Yeah, apparently.
Childproof.
Right. She's going to have opposable thumbs before we know it, working her way in there. Kids weren't happy that the chocolate bunnies are all gone.
Well, you know, should have ate them.
Oh, didn't get a chance.
Should
have ate them. Didn't get a chance. So that was my morning this morning. And then later on with the weather, all of a sudden I hear this loud bang outside, big tree by my house. Didn't fall on the house. Didn't fall on the power lines, but it's down in the front yard. So now I got to deal with that.
Oh. Was that the one that the bees were on?
No, that was a bush in the backyard. This is a legitimate tree. And at first I was like, it's just a few branches. Then I went outside. It's like a huge tree trunk.
Oh,
so
no.
I don't know. I got to start a bonfire on the front lawn or something. I'm not sure.
Oh.
But tomorrow's got to be better.
Can't be worse.
Can't be worse.
Can't be
I know that pantry door will never be opening. I'm going to seal it up, make sure nobody's getting in there now.
And just wait till the bill comes in from the
bill. Larry, the bill. It is I'm thinking to myself, unbelievable. I would have pumped her stomach. I would have put my finger down her throat for that price. Outrageous. But she's fine.
But that's the bottom line. She's okay.
She's fine.
So will you be cooking chicken and rice for
the dog tomorrow? I got another thing of chicken and rice for her. I made a bunch of rice today. I was cooking the rice.
That's a good job
like
out
I don't
of
have
you.
Enough to do.
It's a good job out of you. Taking care of your baby.
This dog. Great.
And what's her name?
Don't hate Molly. Don't hate Molly. I said,
not why do you bring people together and that means dogs too.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm.
All right, so that's going to be fun. So I
not
get
dogs together, just people.
Just people, but you're bringing dogs together as well. Yeah. All right, my friend. Have a good day tomorrow. See you tomorrow night.
We'll try, Larry. We'll see.
That wraps up this edition of ESPN New York Tonight. We thank you for joining us. Harvey Joe, thank you very much. Conversation continues right here on 98.7 ESPN.